All right, we're going to start Perek Gimel. The first two parakim have set the general stage and have already reiterated the basic model that we will be encountering. It starts here again. These are the nations that the Bnei Yisrael did not drive out. In Pasuk Gimel, there's listed some nations, and in Pasuk Hey, they're listed other nations. Why? Why do we have two lists and why are they separated? The list in Pasuk Gimel are lists of people that are external to Bnei Yisrael, that do not live in Eretz Yisrael. They live in what is, if you look at the map, they live in Lebanon. They may live over here in Iraq and Iran and Persia, that area, the lower part. They may live in Gaza. These are external nations that will be threatening Bnei Yisrael. In Pasuk Hey, we have internal nations. How many nations are listed in Pasuk Hey?
Seven. I mean, I didn't read it, but...
She didn't read it, but she has a good guess. She says seven. Count them. Six.
How was it close?
She was close. The question isn't why she was close. The question is why was she wrong?
Because one left.
One of them left entirely. But there's another question also. That's why you were wrong? Because the one nation left. And it left entirely. The whole nation left. We told you where they went, right? What?
Africa.
The Cape Peninsula in South Africa. Not Ethiopia. The Cape Peninsula in South Africa. What about the... there's another nation. We said that sometimes in the Chumash they only have five. Which nation was this?
Amalek.
Remember in Yeshua, what?
With the peace treaty.
When they came with a fake peace treaty. And they made peace. But those weren't all of the Shevet. Not all of the nation came to make peace. So they still, part of them, still remained in Israel and fought. The one nation fled. In Pasuk Daled, Vayu v'nasot b'am es Yisrael, and they were to test Israel. L'das ha'yishma et mitzvos Hashem asher tziva es Avraham b'yad Moshe, Avosam b'yad Moshe, whether they would keep the mitzvos. They were to test the people. Do we have any other similar kind of story like this? But their test was given. We have the story of Avraham. We have the story of the test that Avraham had. But the tests were not given to break the people. They were given to strengthen the people. They're given to make them be able to keep their understanding and to learn what to do. And so, that is the continual story of history. That things happen, and they are to, when I saw this B'nai Yisrael, L'dat ha'yishmo es mitzvos Hashem, to know whether or not they will listen to the mitzvahs. And in the end, that process strengthens B'nai Yisrael. In Pasuk Vav, Vayichu, Vayichu es b'nei Yisrael, no, that's not the right pasuk. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael es hara b'nei Hashem. This is, as we said, the introductory pasuk. Vayishkechu es Hashem Elokeihem. They forgot God, and they would do things. First, the forgetting comes, and then Vayavdu es Habalim, and then they would start doing open kinds of sinning. But the order was always that. They would first do small kinds of things. Pasuk Vav does start, I put down Vav on the paper, because Vav does start now the specifics, no longer the general. We're now into the first of the Shoftim, who is going to be Asnir. And the people, now we're talking about specifics, they did wrong, they didn't listen, and they served the Baalim. And again, how many is not specified, and the number, from looking at the period, appears to be very, very small. But the people did not protest. And just as we have with Yeshua, and we have with other times, when we have one person doing a sin, that has an effect on the whole nation. And if people don't look at what's happening and say, why is it happening, then there is a problem. So the first oppressor comes in the hands of Kushan from Aram Naharaim. Now Aram Naharaim is where? Have you ever heard of Aram Naharaim?
Yeah,
where? Aram Naharaim usually refers to, what do they call it, Mesopotamia? Mesopotamia, something like that, with the big words there. Which is where?
Iraq.
Which is the lower part of Iraq. What's it called? There's a place, Basra, or something like that. There's lower Iraq and the upper part of Iran. That is one possibility of where it is. The other part possibility is that it's in Syria. Now, it could be that we looked at the big map. We could probably see it better. But it's not crucial to be exactly sure. But this is a threat that's external. From Aram Naharaim, we first encounter with Avraham. Avraham comes from Aram. So that area could be the area, or Syria, Iraq, the border area there could be part of the area. But they come and they oppress them. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them over, but the Melech calls on some help, and he calls on some help that is local help. That's Eglon. I'm sorry. He doesn't call. He oppresses them for 18 years. And B'nai Yisrael call out to Hashem, and the first of the Shoftim comes up. The first of the Shoftim is Asniel. And he gets rid of them, and they have peace for 40 years. If you look at the back of the map, the list of the shoftim, you have a question exactly when these 18 years were. Right. Shmona Asra, it says 18, doesn't it? No, you're right, it's 8 years. It's 8 years. It's not 18, it's 8 years. When these 8 years were. So there's one possibility that they are after, before the time that they say that Asniel starts, the 2516. Some people say it was during part of that time that he was, that time was counted. The next group of time, the next time they impress them, are counted under the Shofet's rule. When it says the 80, we'll see that later on. But it's 8 years, not 18. And in Pasuk Yod, Vatilav Ruach Hashem, and it came on him the Ruach Hashem. What does that mean? What's Ruach Hashem? Ruach HaKodesh, prophecy. The Ruach to lead and to fight. Or the Ruach to be the Shofet, to judge. Asniel is, before this is where? He is in the south and he's teaching. We said that he's the one that, he's Kohen's son-in-law. And he's teaching in Arad. And the first thing he does, Vayishpot Esh Yisrael, the order is important. First he judges Israel. First he finds the source of their sins and he gets them to stop doing those sins. And then it's Vayetze Milchama. Then he goes out to fight. Okay, and he destroys the Kushan Rish Nassim, and the Vatishkat Aretz Arbaim Shana, and the land is quiet for 40 years. If you look at this list over here, you see that there are oftentimes a 20 years and a 40 years multiples of those numbers. Those numbers pop up a lot of times. Is that chance, or is that something else that's going on? What?
It's a pattern.
Why? Yeah, but what is the pattern of 20, 40? What does that pattern reflect?
Generations.
It's a pattern of generations. It's a generation is about 20, 25 years. Now it's 25. It used to be 20. Sometimes it was less. But that reflects the amount of time that people are able to retain a memory of what happens. And that's part of what goes on here. When Asniel is alive, he keeps the people in line. They keep the memory of the people that were there. Saw it, they keep a memory. The generation passes away. They get older. A new generation comes. And a new generation comes that does not know anything. And that's the continual pattern that occurs. Okay, Asniel. All we know about Asniel, except the story with Kalev, these short psukim. We now come in Pasuk Yud Beis. Asniel has died. We now start the next shofet. Now, Ehud ben Gera is from the tribe of Benjamin. But the introduction is the standard line that we will see. Vayisafu b'nei Yisrael asos hara b'nei Hashem. They continued to do that which was bad. And again, it doesn't specify what. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is machzik Eglon. He makes Eglon, the king of Moab, strong. Where is Moab? Moab, if you flip the map over, you see where it says Gad and Reuven on the right side of the Jordan River on the eastern border? That was where Moab was. In the Chumash, when they fought Moab, Moshe defeats them and destroys them, but some of Moab was left on the bottom, towards the bottom, towards Jordan. If you ever go to a lot and you look on the other side, you see Hare Moab. You see the mountains of Moab. Are sometimes they're called Hare Edom. The mountains of Edom are the red mountains. Okay, now Hare Edom and Hare Moab are different, but for our purposes, they're the same. They're on the other side. There's a row of mountains that goes down towards Eilat, starting on the other side of the Yam HaMelech. But they were defeated, but there were some people that were left. Who was the king of Moab when Moshe encountered him?
King of Moab? Yitro.
Huh? No, Yitro was... A person by the name of Balak. And Balak is the grandfather, the great-grandfather of Ruth. And he is the one who he hired Bilam and he brought the sacrifices. He told Bilam to bring sacrifices to God, to have God curse B'nai Yisrael. One of the interesting things is that we see that people that oppress the Jews sometimes, oftentimes, believe in God. That was not the phenomena with Germany, but it was a phenomena with even with the pogroms. There was a certain amount of belief Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is to say, they would ask the Jewish people for blessings. The people, and the next day they would go out and kill them. But there was a belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Balak, because he brought the sacrifices, merited having his great 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 granddaughter as the mother of the king. Eglon is his descendant. And Eglon will also will be one of the ancestors of Ruth. And they say that he did something that merited his having that ancestry. Not having that, he being the ancestor of Ruth. If you look through this, take a look and see what he'll do that will say he deserves something that's good. He starts off as a pretty bad fellow. He starts off, they come up and they oppress B'nai Yisrael. But he goes out and he gets the B'nai Amon and Amalek. Now Amon, as you can see, is up above Moab. Amon and Moab are B'nai Amon and Moab are the descendants of Lot. Remember the story from the Chumash 3 weeks ago? Three weeks ago. Right. With Lot. Amnon is descended from Lot, and Moab is descended from Lot. Okay, and they lived close in terms of the side. Ammon there was some fighting, but Ammon was protected. Ammon did not do that. And Ammon joins with Moab, and then they throw in another nation called Amalek. What do we know about Amalek?
They're bad.
Amalek is the descendant of
Edom and Eliphaz.
No, there was a whole story.
Eliphaz.
Someone who had a son.
Eliphaz, Edom. Who's Edom?
Esav.
Edom is another name for Esav. And it comes through his son Eliphaz. And he was archetype of the Mida of Esav, of thinking that he could do things by himself, and he was very much anti-Gabriel, and he was anti the Mida of Bnei Yisrael of Yoshev Olim, are believing in God. And he is the one that attacks Bnei Yisrael. There's a special mitzvah to kill Amalek, because they have their whole being is counter to what Bnei Yisrael believes in and is, and what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. So he goes out and he gets these two other people, and they oppress Bnei Yisrael for 18 years. That's where I got the 18 years. I wasn't careful. The Aram is for 8 years and Moab is for 18. And again, in Pasuk Tesvav, it says, Vayizaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. Bnei Yisrael calls out. There's a need for a recognition to stop the oppression, to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not enough to say we stop doing. You have to recognize that the oppression comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a passing note, that is important to understand the current political situation. Yeah, you had a question? We have a mitzvah to kill them. We cannot do it because we don't know who they are. Once the period of Sancheriv, the period before the destruction, about 200 years before the destruction of the first temple, there was this guy again from Aram, that area, who beats the whole world up. He takes them in a fair fight. And he... But he had as a policy, the same way that we lost the tribes, you know, he would put them in his pocket and shake them up. And then coins would drop. No, he would move the nations around. He moved them around so that they would not have a connection to where they were. And therefore they would either call it assimilate or integrate or whatever. They would become a different part and they were less likely to rebel. And he did the same thing to all the other people, including Amalek.
But they still exist, like now they still exist? We don't have
Amalek probably exists. There are people that trace there's some anthropologists that traces the different movements of different tribes through a lot of different speculative things sometimes, and claims that the Germanic nations are from Amalek. But again, there isn't any proof, and you couldn't kill somebody based on that. But there is that mitzvah. The mitzvah still is there. The mitzvah is in part to understand that there is evil. You know, sometimes in our current worldview, evil does not exist. There are people that do things bad because of financial reasons, because we have that Avodah Zarah. I had to throw that in as a digression. We have that as our primary motive in the way we look at the world. People are only oppressed for financial reasons, not because people are evil. People are killed because there's financial difficulties, not because there is evil. And that is not true. There is evil. There are people that can do things that are bad. And that's part of the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. All right. In Pasuk 15, we're introduced to Ehud ben Gera. Ehud is from the tribe of Benjamin. According to many people, he is one of the ancestors of Shaul, the first king. He will rule for the longest period of the Shoftim. He rules for how long? If you look at the other side of your paper, that's good. You got the principle down.
80 years.
But included in the 80 years are the 18 years that Moab is around. Okay? We were talking a bit about the governmental systems. The question we left you with was, what system is better? Does anybody have an answer for me?
It's like, which is the lesser of all evil? It's like, compared to all the bad parts, like, which has the...
All right, we could phrase it that way. There was an American philosopher who chose to phrase it that way. Which is the lesser of all evils? Okay, your answer is democracy. That may or may not be true. The history of democracy is not in. And democracy has a tendency to fall into several phenomena, that potential phenomena, and that is the majority oppresses the minority. And that is in some ways an inevitable consequence. It also has in it the desire to define the majority in a way that's favorable to your subgroup. So, you know, you have a question of defining who has the vote. And then you have a question of how you define that, those issues that the people vote on, and do you trust the people? Most governments that call themselves democracies do not trust the people. And they have a variety of ways that manipulate around true democracy. You have a representative form of government. A representative form of government is not a true democracy. It has in it the